Thanks for tuning in to House of Bob. We'll be starting the action a few moments late today to talk to you about something important. Our group is based in Canada. We're very thankful for the many privileges that come with living in this great country, including our access to universal healthcare, especially when our neighbors to the south are without. A member of our group, Christina, is originally from the United States, where most of her family still resides. Right now, Christina's stepmother, Joyce, is fighting a battle for her health. Even with medical insurance, Joyce is without employer benefits and now faces the battle of high medical bills, co-payments, and deductibles. We've included the link in the description to Joyce's GoFundMe where you can learn more. We'd love if you'd consider a small donation to help in her recovery, or even if you shared the link on social media to help spread the word. Thanks so much for listening. Here's Sean with House of Annihilation. Welcome once again to the House of Bob RPG Podcast. Today you'll hear the very beginning of our new adventure, where we play the latest Dungeons & Dragons adventure path, Tomb of Annihilation. Be prepared for a deep dive into a dangerous jungle, confrontations with dinosaurs, the undead, and the unknown. If you like what you hear today, be sure to subscribe for more content, rate us on iTunes, and head on over to our Facebook and Twitter. Tell us what you thought. Roll on!
I'm Jake, and I'll be playing Cranston Thorne, the half-elf bard.
My name's Trevor, and I'll be playing Rai Vin Osborn, who is a half-elf barbarian.
I'm Alex, and I'll be playing today as Horik Jones, the human fighter.
My name's Dan, I'll be playing Liana Servana. I am the elf beastmaster.
The crisp spray of the ocean rips over the railing of the High Havoc, refreshing you after a long night spent below decks avoiding the howling winds and lashing rain. At the front of the ship, your crew's mage, Hacksail... Fuck you guys. At the front of the ship, your crew's mage, Hacksail, played by Paul Bettany.
Played by who?
Paul Bettany. You know the redheaded guy from Night's Tale?
I literally don't know what anybody looks like.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to Google every single one of these people.
No. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Okay. That's our captain?
Ooh, no, that's
pretty sexy.
So your cruise mage, Hacksail, played by Paul Bettany.
Okay.
He's pretty sexy.
Regardless who
he's actually, right now, he's kind of covered in some flowing robes. His hood's whipping in the wind. He's got bandages covering his face, and he's out there on the very front of the ship, nimbly tracing his fingers through the air, encouraging the winds to push the ship faster towards your destination.
Cool.
The crew's bustling back and forth. Everybody's got their job to do this morning, and last-minute preparations are being made before you put into the gateway to Chult, the glorious city of Port Nyanzaru. First thing I'm going to have you guys do, we're going to drop you right into it, all of you guys got to pick a skill and tell me how it helps you guys operate the ship.
Oh, acrobatics. Shit.
What do you do with your acrobatics?
I am crawling and swinging from the rope ladders and the rope and sails and stuff.
Just like to show off?
Rigging, I think it is. Yeah, it improves morale, really.
Okay, go ahead and make an acrobatics check as you climb up the rigging to...
Can I use your dice?
I don't know, tie some shit?
I mean, can you? Fuck, no.
You make a poor show of it. Captain looks up from the stern. Captain Darg Vetterig. And he gives you a sour eye. He knows you can do better than that.
Me too.
Horik, what are you working on the ship here?
I've spent my whole life on the ship. Not this ship, but ships in general. I'm a navigator.
Okay, cool.
Shit, I'm a navigator.
So tell me how you're going to get us around. You're spotting the route out to...
I'm going
to
look through... my telescope. That's not it. Periscope?
It's a telescope or something.
Whatever the fuck it is.
Looking glass?
Looking glass. And I'll go wherever the captain tells me. I'll tell him to go wherever I tell him we can go that he tells me.
So roll me a survival to see if you can navigate your way through the headwaters here.
17.
Not bad.
I've done it my whole life.
All right. So you can see through your telescope on the right on the horizon there. There's a little green line that steadily becoming larger is the shoreline of Chalten. You're passing directions down to the captain, making sure that you guys are on track.
Don't these guys exercise their skill?
Narrating in between characters. Oh, holy shit.
God.
So impatient.
Wow.
Why did you skip them?
Because
you didn't narrate
Trevor,
assistant.
Because
you sucked at your thing.
I rolled a 10, whatever.
Jeez. There was nothing he told to you narrate. How, like.
In the system, like, 10 is sometimes good enough. You can tell me when you get
it. All right, well, I got a 4. The modifier wasn't on the PDF I was looking at, so it's +6 on my acrobatics.
All right, you climb up to the top. You get up there, you tie some knots. People clap for you. Captain.
Way to go, Ryan.
Captain's sour. The captain's typically sour face. The captain's typically sour face softens as he sees you climbing around.
What does the captain look like?
There's my Rye. Such a good acrobat.
What does Captain look like?
The captain is a grizzled older man, gray hair, played by Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Yeah, he's serious about pirating.
That's right. What was his name again?
Darg Bedrick.
Darg.
D-A-R-G. He's a good fighter.
Captain's gonna call him the Crow. Captain Darg.
He's got a massive.
Does he have a crow on his arm? Because that'd be.
No, but he's got a massive cutlass at his side. All right, Leanna.
I'm going to use my medicine skill, even though I'm not great at it, but, like, I don't think there's anyone else here on board that has the...
Alright, so there's a few... everybody's sniping the next guy's thing. So, Leanna, there's a few of your crewmates that are sick with scurvy.
All right.
And you're going to have to give them some assistance.
I throw a damp cloth at them. 11.
The damn
just
cloth.
Soaked in ale.
They just start, yeah, soaked. You dip it in like some rum and try to apply it to their forehead. And they're just like suckling at it, trying to get every last bit of alcohol out of it before you waste it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. great. Cranston. Probably the most important person on the ship.
Yeah, easily.
What are you going to do?
Haxel is up at the front of the boat, weaving his magics to address the wind and find us a clear passage. So we're both half elves. We're both magic users. We've got a rapport. I'm using my magic to assist him in that through the spell Enhance Ability.
What?
So what are you going to do?
So do you have to roll anything for that?
No.
All right. Well, you are enhancing his intelligence. His spell casting is improved slightly. And the wind picks up underneath him, and you guys are making really good time, actually.
Are we on a schedule?
Well, you want to get it there before all of the beer and prostitutes for the day run out.
I'm okay.
Sorry, the other guys. Finally, the billowy green coastline rolls up over the horizon. A cheer rings out from the crew.
Land ho!
The mage, Haxail, bends over the railing. He's exhausted from his spellcasting, and you guys see him vomit into the ocean.
Okay. Gross. I throw a rum rag at him.
So Leanna runs over to him to offer him a rum rag. He rolls over into your arms, unconscious.
Oh.
You can see that the bandages that loosely cover his face are flopping away, and you can see that the skin underneath them is gray and green. The scar, which is around his left eye, that he earned in battle a dozen years ago, which was once tiny and pink, was once a measure of his beauty, is now raw and oozing pus.
Gross. Cranston, I think this is more up your, like, neighborhood. It is... that typical after a long spellcasting session?
No, that's totally not typical.
Like, I mean, even just for him to go unconscious or whatnot?
No, you've not seen this sort of thing.
He tried ringing the rum rag into his mouth, but it didn't take.
Did that not work?
No.
I don't have any other ideas, man.
It usually works.
What about a vodka rag? I would say that rye, being a half-elf and a kindred spirit with the
other... Are you going to make a rye joke? No, use rye.
I grab rye. That's not... Rye swings down from the scaffolding to... what's his name again?
Haxail.
Haxail. He's a half
There's
elf.
There's more applause.
And I'm a half elf. Thanks. And I apply insight. Can I use my insight skill to try and gain some more knowledge, like to sort of like
it would be
assess like the physical situation?
It would really be a medicine check. Insight is like when somebody is trying to lie to you.
14.
That's 14 is pretty good. But this doesn't, it almost seems like a wasting disease or a flesh-eating disease, but the flesh that you can see is turning gray and green is basically necrotic. You've
Fucking
not,
gross.
Yeah, it's really gross. You've not seen a disease like this before. At this point, Captain Darg comes up behind you and takes a look at him and sighs. Oh, fuck.
Amen.
Captain. Look, he gathers you all around, waving his arms for the whole crew to gather around. Many of you have been wondering why it is we come to this dark corner of the world. There's been some complaints, some whispers. Some of you wondering why I haven't sought aid for Haxail further north on the Sword Coast. The truth is that he's dying. He's dying again. Years ago, Haxail came here to Chult with me. And we found treasure in that jungle, and he died in the effort of getting it out. I carried him and enough other treasure out of that godforsaken forest to have him resurrected by the priests of Ilmater. Praise be.
Praise be.
Praise be.
Praise be.
Praise be. Fucking yes, men.
We're pirates.
Yes.
Superstitious.
Now,
anything for you, Captain.
Now, he's rotten, as if all that hard work was for nothing. At this point, Haxail coughs and starts to regain a bit of consciousness. Captain bends down to see him, bends down over his old friend. Are you all right, son? I'd be all right, friend. If it's my time, then it's my time. You could say I cheated death before. Maybe this is the way of it. I'll not have it this way. Just get that damned treasure. Haxail laughs and coughs and spurts up some blood. Everybody's super grossed out by that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we should.
It just occurred to Osbon that if this potentially cursed treasure gave him this curse, we're going for that same treasure. Are we going to try and save Haxail, or are we getting the treasure for ourselves? Because this doesn't sound like a treasure I want.
Yeah, I kind of want to toss him overboard.
Darg turns to you and says, we have to try and put it back.
Oh, okay,
we hope that's the only way to break the curse.
Yeah, I'm into that.
It's like the opposite of what we normally do, so I'm a little...
And then suddenly, the sea ahead of you rails and churns, and waves crash over the bow of your ship. There's no weather causing this. The sky is still clear, and driven by sawtooth hills rising from the heaving foam, water streams off rising crags like rivers crashing down a mountainside. At last, the emerging island stops growing in size, although the sea around still tosses your ship like a drifting feather. Then there's a huge blast of steam. Erupting from the waves and through the drifting rainbow-covered mist, you see an immense beak and a milky eye the size of a hogshead cask staring blindly in your direction. As the water calms, you also spot a dozen or more shark fins circling the ship. It's eyeing you, and it's kicking up waves all around you, and it begins to speak in Draconic, if any of you speak Draconic.
Dang.
Nope.
None of you speak
Draconic.
All right, there's a whole bunch of, you know, growling and grasping at words, and it's trying to convey something to you. It obviously looks super angry, and Haxail, who fortunately speaks Draconic.
How convenient.
Yeah, good thing for you guys. In the crew panics around the deck. He's looking for tribute.
Well, I mean, if Haxail's gonna die soon, he says he won't
let us pass.
Ask him. What?
The only fair way is to draw straws, guys.
What you did would be worthy.
I'll hold them.
I feel like maybe this beast would want something other than, a tic-tac of a human being in his
Does
mouth.
Anybody have knowledge arcana?
Oh, I got plus one.
Plus one as well.
Yeah. Well, roll it. See if you know what this thing is. Have you even heard of it?
8.
13.
Oh, nice.
20?
Jake fucking rocked it.
All right, so, Cranston, you've heard a song. Of the Bay of Chult. A song about the Bay of Chult, which is guarded by a dragon turtle.
Can you sing it for us?
I can't, but...
Hey, ho, dragon turtle.
Do you start chanting that right now?
I'm just going over it in my head. Yeah. Like, you can hear me whispering it under my breath.
That's very, very dramatic. The monster coming out of the ocean. We're all like, what do we do? And then suddenly like you're like, hey.
I said a hip?
So,
yeah, well, do we know, is it looking for meat, treasure, souls?
Well, it's basically part dragon.
Yeah. And
you know that it's a slightly less intelligent sort of dragon, but it's probably looking for treasure.
Yeah.
Gold.
Well, I mean, I've only got 10 gold pieces. I don't think that's going to cut it. We do have...
What about the captain's
sword? A cursed treasure.
You all look at Darg and he's like, no, no way. We're taking that back to the jungle.
What else are we supposed to give him, Captain? I don't have money. We haven't raided anything in months.
He, and you guys have been on borderline mutiny because of it. He gets shifty-eyed. He's worried about it. He's looking back and forth and he has no idea. Darg is at a loss.
Captain, I think we should give him the gold.
It's not gold.
What is it?
Oh, what is it?
So as the ship is rocking back and forth, as it's crashing around, he ushers you down into his cabin. Takes you.
One sec, Dragon Turtle.
Takes you to the chest that sits underneath his bed, and the Dragon Turtle is still smashing against the side of the ship. There's water spraying everywhere. You can hear the screams of the other crew members. And he cracks open his chest, and inside is a small ceramic cube. It's about the size of your head, and it's inscribed with a symbol of a crane of some sort.
All right, I think if everybody's got 10 pieces and there's a whole crew of pieces, we all throw our gold in at the same time. Yeah.
We can get the dragon a nice gift.
We just have to get to shore.
Yeah, that's all we gotta do. So if we all throw gold over the edge.
Can we, if we throw something shiny and then try to escape maybe. What's the shiniest thing we have?
I don't know, his telescope?
All of our dinner.
You hear a huge roar.
We can't navigate without a telescope?
I run up.
I hurl his telescope into the
up to the front end of the ship, and I take one gold piece and I like flick it as far as I can past his face just to see if like the glimmer of gold is enough to sort of like draw its attention a little bit to see. Like it might
see,
still.
Yeah, you see the Milky Eye. You see the Milky Eye follow the gold coin as it goes and plops into the water, and then it looks straight at you.
Okay, we should throw more gold.
And then it goes and slaps a tail against the side of the ship, cracking the hull.
Oh, maybe
you guys are now going over. Make a reflex save.
All right, maybe he thought that was all I was going to give him.
23. Mm-hmm. While everybody is getting tossed around, and I'm quite fine on the deck here, I want to grab that box.
Okay, you've got the cube.
And I got a 20.
Yeah.
24.
Nice.
9.
You go over the boards.
Over the boards.
Ooh. All right. I throw you your telescope then.
Yeah. I've got a bag of 1,000 ball bearings.
Why? Now's not the time to unleash them.
I thought maybe it'd be enough treasure for
them. They're not even worth anything.
I just don't want you to spill them and that's on the deck and then we're all like dealing with a rocking ship plus ball bearings everywhere.
Oh yeah, there's a shark
in
the water.
Can you roll for your cougar, please?
Hell yeah.
For those listeners who didn't know, Liana has an animal companion because she's a ranger.
I didn't know
named
that
Town.
Either.
It's a cougar that's named Town.
Did you know this?
Cougar Town.
Can you roll its dexterity saving throw?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you spelled it out for me.
Oh boy.
15.
15. Is she?
He.
It? He's okay.
It doesn't make sense that's a he, but.
All right, Horik, you're in the water, and you can see the fins of a few sharks circling towards you. You guys who are still on the ship, it's taking on water, it's listing. The rest of the crew is basically grabbing whatever they can as flotation devices and are bailing off.
They're jumping into the shark infested waters.
The ship isn't a safe place anymore.
Does our ship have one of those little side boats? Like a little boat to...
Sure.
Yes! I am totally jumping onto that and
unrigging
it from the boat so that it doesn't slip with it.
All right. I'm going to toss a rope down to you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you
make
can
it.
Either like
thanks.
Make a range
from the little boat.
From yeah, that's a good idea.
Make a ranged attack.
Nice.
23.
That hits. You have a rope floating in the water in front of you.
I'm gonna like pull on the rope, swim towards the little dinghy or whatever it is.
Sweet. So you're reeling in towards the ship
yeah.
here, and I'm gonna have everybody give me initiative.
8.
18.
Wow.
I'm rolling good today.
Rye got 17.
Nice. Cranston?
10.
All right, so you got a bunch of reef sharks coming at you here. All right, Liana, you are the first to act, so you're still trying to reel in your companion here.
Yep.
I'm going to have you go ahead and roll a strength check, and if you can beat a 15, you'll pull him into the ship.
Oof, that's a tough pull.
Sorry.
Nope. I'm going to need some assistance on this, you guys.
Right, Liana is there struggling with the rope, trying to pull Horik out of the water. You can go ahead and give her some assistance yep. if you want. It would be a strength check. You got to beat a 10.
Okay.
Rye!
There's also some reef sharks flying or swimming up behind him, so you could range attack them if you want.
I'm going to pull you out of the water.
Let's get Horik in here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You succeed. Horik is now inside the ship. Okay. We've got some sharks that are going to kind of bite at the side of the ship here, trying to turn it over in this rocking water.
Punch them on the nose.
Yeah. With a sword.
Yes.
Or arrows. So we don't have to actually, like, punch them.
All right, so they're chomping away at the boat. We've got one hit. We've got two hits.
You sunk my battleship.
Actually, our ship has sunk. We're on our way.
I mean,
craft.
It's sinking. Yeah.
All right. Sunk yet. You can see that the piercing damage of the shark's teeth. They're starting to scrape away at it, but it's not doing a ton of damage yet. But they're causing the ship or your little dinghy to kind of get upset, and it's not helping that the waves are kicking it around. Fortunately, the dragon turtle's on the other side of the High Havoc, and you guys have a little bit of a defense from him there.
Cool.
I stab.
We've got Cranston next.
Do I see Darg or Haxel?
Darg and Haxel are both on the ship still. They're coming towards you guys. They're hoping to get on.
They see us there, and they're
yeah.
coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Then I will take a crossbow shot at the closest shark.
All right.
And then, yes, start with that. Not great. 10 to hit.
10 does not hit.
Sploosh.
Sploosh.
You have a heavy arrow. A bolt. Yeah, it's a bolt. Okay, well, I sound my horn to direct Darg and whoever other survivors to come for the ship, and I bestow upon one of you a bardic inspiration die. Who can you're I think the damage dealer, right?
Yeah. Okay. I do a fair bit of damage.
Sure, you can have this. So in the next 10 minutes you can spend that, you can roll it, you can add it to an ability check, an attack roll, a saving throw, a damage roll, or your armor class.
Nice. Right on. So basically anything.
Basically.
Can you sing us the song that you sang him?
Oh, it was,
he blew his
it was
horn.
Just a blow on the horn. Oh, just a rally, just a rallying cry.
It was just like a regular old boop, boop, blowjob.
Yeah, one of those.
Just a blowjob. All right, you guys. Horik, you're next, even.
All right. I'm going to take a swing at one of them with my flail.
Okay, so because the dinghy is waving back and forth, I'm going to have you make an acrobatics or athletics in order to stay steady as you swing.
I'll take an athletics.
DC 12.
16.
You are steady as a rock. Go ahead and roll your attack.
10.
Miss.
So you
the sharks just seem to have a bit of extra cover from the water lapping over them. You guys aren't quite getting them.
Okay. So you could choose to roll that D6 and add that on, right? But yeah, well, we don't know what their AC is. We don't know if that'll hit. But
fuck yeah. I'm going to do it.
Awful.
All right, go
I'm
going
to do it.
1. No.
3.
That hits.
Nice.
Okay,
so then I get to roll my flail a shark.
Okay, so that's 1d8 plus 3. 7 damage.
Nice. You deal 7 damage to the shark. And it is... Well, it's still there.
Still there.
You didn't blow it out of existence.
Ow! It screams.
Did anybody try talking to the sharks?
Every time I play with a druid, I'm like, fuck, I can't use anything against you guys. Got to talk to all my creatures. Leanna, go. You and your cougar are there. It doesn't like the water, I don't think.
Yep. I cover it with a blanket.
All right, and next turn is Rye.
That was your whole turn. And I yell, hurry up, Cap! We need to get going! And then I take my longbow and fire it at a shark. All
right.
Oh. 14.
14 hits.
Yep. Nice. 12.
12 damage?
Yep.
Bravo, sir. It got an arrow in its head. The blood is churning up around them now. Those waves are kicking up.
When they attack the sharks that are injured, isn't that what sharks do?
No, they're buddies.
You know, blood in the water and all that.
They're buddies.
But I think Dan's actually onto a pretty good point.
They've grown up together since they were just sharklings.
I think we could maybe like throw
you know, out. As pirates, I think we know how sharks behave. This is unusual, you guys. I'd like to roll an investigation.
I know a thing about sharks.
Holy shit.
I've watched more than 1 week of Shark Week.
Right, it's your turn.
18 to investigation.
Yeah, you investigate my ass.
What does he find out?
It takes forever.
Ooh, zing!
Oh, Jesus.
You know, that's like spitting into the sea. It's
There are 7 more sharks.
Yeah. I'm just going to kill them all right now. Whatever.
Yeah, sure. Against the dungeon master. I want to stab a shark with my sword. They're close enough.
Yeah, right? For sure.
You're right there.
I pull out my rapier and I stab it.
Okay, because it's melee, make yourself an athletics or an acrobatics.
Okay, an acrobatics. 7. I rolled a natural 1.
Yeah, that's a 1. That's our first 1 of the campaign, guys. Congratulations. Everybody give him a hand.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to thank
all the ones.
You fall prone in the ship as you're trying to make your thrust.
How about
in the dinghy? Sorry.
Can I add a little flavor to
that?
That's
our ride.
I go to stab, but the boat rises, and I like the force of me stabbing into the side of the boat pushes me back, and I fall back into the depths of the boat.
Can we just say he ride it?
He ride it. Okay. Yeah. You fall prone. You kind of collapse over one of the seats. At this point, Darg and Haxel
decide not to get into this.
No, they jump over the railing. They're not staying on the High Havoc, which is currently about 3/4 of the way in the water. So yeah, they're leaping right in there.
How are our other sailors doing?
It's a great question. There's several of them in the water. There's some of them that are still clinging to the ship. A lot of them have like various elements of debris or bundles of like sacks that they've like they're like the basically flotation devices that were ready to go in case something like this terrible had happened.
More gold for us. Next question. How many people can our boat sustain?
You're at about cap because you have this cougar on it.
Okay, that's important. All right, we're gonna have to start whacking other people off if it comes to it.
Isn't it just 4 of us?
4 of us, a cougar and captain and the captain and
captain
the
and almost dead guy.
Oh, they made it on, so the rest of the crew is SOL.
The rest of the crew is very envious of your position right now.
As I would be.
Yep.
Although they can't see me because I'm at the bottom of the boat.
There's still a spot in there. No, it's full.
Yeah, how come Rye can go with you?
How come Rye can go?
Oh my
gosh.
He has 37 hit points, that's why. You won't want to see Rye when he's angry.
Exactly.
All right, the reef sharks are again going to attack the boat. 1, 2, 3 hits. Whoa. I just rolled max twice.
Great.
Thanks.
Fuck.
A Okay, so they are chomping at it, biting at the edges of the boat, trying to get in at you, because they're just that ferocious. You can see in the distance a couple of sharks are currently dragging your crew members underwater. Blood is foaming up everywhere. The last shark to take a bite this round on your ship rips off a plank off the side of your dinghy.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, and it was one of the... So, like, that's the part of the ship that has the little ring for your paddle to hang into.
Right.
So you guys are running out of time to get out of this area.
Well, everybody's in. We can start rowing.
We've got Cranston up next.
There's still the three sharks right at us?
They are, yeah.
Okay. I cast sleep.
Do it. This is it has to exceed their hit points?
Or? Yeah, so it's 5d8 hit points worth of creatures fall asleep.
Okay.
5d8. Damn.
Do sharks sleep? Four.
Eyes open.
Nine. Time. Thank you. Oh man, really bad rolls. That's actually super shitty. So only 10. So.
10. Probably. No save.
No save. But they just have to have that few hit points.
Starting
with the lowest current HP creature.
Yeah. So exactly one shark sinks into the depths.
Well, it's a start.
Hey. If sharks aren't moving, they're dying. You just kill the shark.
Hell yeah. Somebody watched
Shark Week.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah, we need to get out of here. So I'm gonna give a bard die to Rai here. Try not to fuck up again. Sorry.
Wow. Wow. I thought Cranston was a ball full of energy, like positivity.
Nope.
Cranston just kills a shark and then looks at Rye in the bottom of the boat and sort of like toots his horn straight in his face. Burr. Okay.
That's how he signifies a kill.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ.
All right. Go ahead, Horik.
Let's start rowing this thing.
Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna row like nobody's fucking business.
Alright, so go ahead, give me a constitution check. You're trying to row against the the waves, against... There's right over here.
There it is, it's hiding.
There you go.
8.
Alright, so you are flopping around with the...
Wait,
right...
Are you sure that's not athletics?
I'm sure, because it's about whatever I say it is.
Because you're the DM.
It was worth a shot.
it's the right right paddle where they ripped off that plank is flopping around a little bit. You're having a hard time getting some purchase. I think you guys probably need to get a little further away from the ship, and then those lower constitution checks might do something. Thanks for coming out. Okay, we've got Liana up next.
All right, I was just seeing if I had any skills as a sailor, if that actually like helps me.
Sure would.
You know, sail. all right, I grab the other paddle and I start rowing.
All right, give me that constitution check.
Constitution? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's the same thing to him. It's about fighting against the waves.
Yeah, and I think you're wrong too.
Too bad. Take some damage.
Oh my goodness.
Two.
You got a sliver in your hand.
I thought you guys need to start rowing. I thought you guys were trained pirates.
I'm more of a...
I'm a navigator.
Yeah, I'm not the brawn, I'm the bronze.
No, you can't use acrobatics.
I jump up and use my constitution check to paddle through these waves.
Do it. If you rage, I'll give you proficiency bonus.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes!
It was like so angry at the like our lack
so
of rowing ability.
You get advantage and +2.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
We never had to row our big boat.
And so I'm adding my constitution modifier. Yeah.
Plus another 2.
And then
right.
Roll it again.
Oh, Christ.
No, and roll this again because I give you advantage.
Oh, nice. Okay, so 20.
Plus another 2.
22.
That's good. Yeah. Okay, you're rowing away from the ship now. You start to break away. The sharks are starting to peel off for some easier kill because they're smelling all that blood from all your crew members.
Excellent.
And you guys, as you're sailing in towards Port Nyanzaru, I'm going to get that eventually, you can see another ship coming out to kind of catch you as you're coming in.
That's weird.
To our aid? Well, they probably watch ships get mulched up by that... That Chinese girl all the time.
Hmm.
Totally. You guys can see on the side of the... Hanging out the side of the ship are a couple sailors with hook poles. to pull your ship in, or your dinghy in. And as you come up alongside, you can see blazoned on the side of the ship is the words, "The Blazing Pegasus." They hook you in, pull you up,
blazed, all right.
Pull you up to their side, and... God damn it.
It's your fault for naming it Blaze.
It's not my fault, actually. It's the campaign named it that.
Pegasus, bro. The Blazing Pegasus.
Yeah, I'm starting to see the Pegasus now.
It's somewhere. Fly me
so, so mad right now.
Oh, shit. It's the Brazen Pegasus.
Oh,
not anymore.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Blazing
it's the
Pegasus
Blazing
now.
Pegasus.
All right, I'm changing it in my notes. Blazing Pegasus. As you guys are pulled up alongside, you can see a female gnome kind of supervising the rescue effort. She's just hollering and screaming at her shipmates, trying to get them, you know, motivated, making sure that the rescue effort goes as well as possible. You guys get pulled on board. You're given some towels, hot cup of
rum rag.
I was gonna say a warmed grog, but whatever.
Is this a cold ocean?
This is a tropical ocean.
Why are they giving us towels?
Because
you're fucking wet. Oh. Yeah.
I just like being...
Because
you know,
don't
huddled.
Forget to bring a towel.
Sorry, guys. My bad.
Yeah, you guys get pulled up on board the Blazing Pegasus.
They got a really cool logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's a pineapple.
And if you so are, cool. And if it's you a are, and if you are an artistically inclined fan, we will accept that fan art of their flag, their masthead, whatever other parts of a ship have things on them.
I can imagine all of it.
Yeah, you guys get pulled up on top. The captain introduces herself as Ordame Swift and Dark.
Swift and Dark. Wow. Yeah, that's a mouthful. Ordinay?
Ortame.
Swift and Dark.
Yes, all separate words.
Swift and Dark.
That's right. Swift and Dark.
She was the female.
Madam Swift and Dark.
Yes, I'm a gnome.
Okay.
Thanks for noticing.
Thank you, Ortame?
Oh, no problem. It's not too uncommon that somebody runs into trouble with Aramag there.
Aramag.
Oh yeah, he's the dragon turtle.
What would have been a proper sacrifice to him? Tribute.
Well,
or whatever.
What did you try? Because sometimes he gets insulted.
We started with a down payment.
Way away.
Of one.
Oh yeah, you don't
platinum.
Want to. You never want to try just one of anything with Aramag.
I suggested we all throw gold over, and who threw gold over?
Just
one person.
You.
So everybody else is at the bottom of the ocean because they wouldn't empty
I
their
thought
pockets.
A human sacrifice, because look how many we sacrificed anyway.
You're pretty dark.
If there's one thing Aramag has no shortage of, it's food.
Oh, okay. How's Haxel holding up?
Haxel is now looking like he's about to succumb to hypothermia, as well as whatever rotting flesh disease he's got.
I thought this was a warm ocean.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
When you are got flesh-eating disease and you end up wet from a
that's
ocean
yeah,
attack.
That's when stuff
and
starts
I'm
falling
wet.
Off.
What is the gnome? Oh, gross.
And I'm wet.
What does the gnome think of
my name's Ortame.
What does Ortame think of
words hard because you're raging right now.
Yes.
Stoned and
Haxel.
Yeah,
is there?
Yeah.
How is Hordame interacting with Haxel?
Like,
has she seen this before?
You guys are the kind of one she's talking to because you're coherent.
Okay.
But once you kind of, if you kind of direct her attention towards Haxel, mm-hmm. and you start kind of trying to help him out, she does notice that he is, you know, not doing well.
He looks gross.
And you ask her about it. She says, oh, yes, we've seen this in Chult as well. Something terrible is amiss.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. The word out of my mouth.
So it's fucking ever.
It's
right?
Not just. It's interesting to see that it's not just happening on the peninsula.
Well, we're here to return what was once taken and see if we can actually, like, fix him up, you know?
Stop it.
Fix him up.
What do you mean, what was taken?
This... nothing. We lost it on the ship.
What are you talking about? That's awful suspicious.
So,
anyways, let's get you back into port.
He's clearly delirious.
That's what I was assuming.
I'm a lady, thank you.
She's clearly delirious.
It's all right, dearie. We'll get you taken care of.
All right, take care of town too, please.
You finally pull up to the harbor, to the tropical city under the blazing sun, and you guys are happy to hear the familiar sounds of a chip bag opening.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh,
the tension.
That's all that I wanted right now.
Thank you, Artemis. Finally, that's the sound of land.
The port smells of dill pickle.
What's is Darg? Has Darg done anything since he seemed to kind of just check out what
Darg,
happened?
Darg is kind of in shock. His ship just went down. He didn't get the opportunity to go down with it because he was so concerned about his friend's survival. So he's here kind of trying to help out.
Put him back.
Help out Haxil.
We might need a tribute on the way out.
Oh my god.
Okay. So Ordemain's crew goes about roping up the ship into the harbor. She heads out to deal with the harbor master, talk about, you know, I was only gone for 5 minutes. You can't charge me for another docking. I was just helping these folks. And you see that she's actually talking to a gold half-dragon. Half-dragon, half-man, if anybody's curious.
Wait, is that different than dragon...
It is different than Dragonborn.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I offer to pay for Ordemae's docking fee, not knowing how much it costs.
She says, no, I'm going to get this. This is bullshit that he's trying to charge me. the familiar sounds of the port welcome you. You guys feel relieved you're back on dry land as much as pirates resent being on dry land. Creaking ropes, slapping waves. There's heavy barrels rolling around on cobblestones. There are voices shouting and cursing in an unfamiliar language.
Fuck you!
That's no one in particular.
That's the only one guy.
Oh, there's that guy again.
You also smell.
Oh, there's the old fuck you.
Oh, it's Horik.
He just stands at the dock and yells at it.
You also have the aroma of unfamiliar spices and tropical fruit mixing with the wharfside smells of fish, tar, and canvas.
Ooh.
Beyond all that, Port Nyanzaru is an explosion of color. Buildings are painted in bright shades of blue, green, orange, and salmon pink, where their walls are adorned with murals portraying giant reptiles and mythical heroes. Every building you see sports baskets and clay urns of colorful flowers or is draped in leafy flowering vines. Minstrels in bright colored clothing, adorned with feathers and shells, perform on street corners. Multicolored pennants and sun awnings flutter atop the city walls. A crowd of children, dressed in feathered hats and capes, races past you, squealing in delighted terror as a street performer costumed as a big-toothed lizard stomps and roars behind them. The whole city seems to be bustling, sweating, laughing, swearing, and singing.
I'm a little taken aback.
I'm sure
I wasn't expecting so much like civilization.
This is a pretty nicely populated city. You guys are taking a look here. And
for a fairly populated city, you think they'd be like worried about the giant like
I think it's turtle basically thing. Like their defense mechanism.
It's actually more like how are they going to get rid of it?
That too, I guess.
So you guys just pulled up right about here. And
cool, I'm loving this.
Yeah, and we've got a nice little chain. I'm gonna draw on this map a little bit. So this chain can be pulled up in order to block the harbor. This is a big statue. It's a giant bronze warrior, a Chultan, obviously, based on the costume and dress. He's got a traditional traditional obsidian sword called a Yulika, and a shoulder-high hide shield. And he kind of oversees that statue oversees the harbor. And then, this is kind of where you are.
Cool.
Ordemae is finishing up with the harbor master, and she comes back over to you guys. So I assume you guys are probably looking for somewhere to stay. I could recommend a couple places if you don't know anything already.
We would appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, we don't have much.
Of course, if you're more the raucous type and enjoy a good party every evening, the Thundering Lizard is a good inn. And of course, Kaya's House of Repose, if you just need a good night's sleep, which I imagine you might after your encounter with a fucking dragon turtle.
Nah, party.
Yeah, party it out.
Yeah. I could use a fucking beer.
All right, so if you guys want to head there, you can. Darg and Haxil are just going to kind of tag along with you, and they don't have anywhere else to go yet.
Right.
We should get him a room.
What a bummer.
I mean, a lot of like pubs should have an inn like overhead.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, the Thundering Lizard's got somewhere you can stay for sure.
Yeah, perfect. So let's get them a nice room, and then let's get us a nice beer.
So you guys get to the lizard. It is definitely a more raucous type place. So you got a lot of drunkards stumbling in and out, sailors, outsider, a couple of prostitutes. The entire city is covered in kind of almost garish colors, brights, yellows, greens, pinks. But this place is even more like clashing and confusing. And above the door is a big red Tyrannosaurus carving above the door, welcoming you in.
Dang, these guys like dinosaurs.
They have dinosaurs.
Oh.
As you walk to the tavern, you see several dinosaurs, several herbivore dinosaurs that are used as pack animals. Hadrosauruses, Triceratops.
I'm not used to seeing dinosaurs. Is that correct?
No, you would not be. This is these things are very strange for you. Huge.
I've heard songs about them, but never seen one before.
We're basically on like Dinotopia.
Sure.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, you can see that some of the every once in a while you will see somebody leading a dinosaur that's really dressed up in like huge feathers and pennants and stuff, advertising dinosaur races that happen weekly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go bet on those.
So you guys get to the Thundering Lizard.
It's better,
and,
Captain.
Bet the treasure.
You guys get to the Thundering Lizard, and as you're kind of trying to get settled and trying to, you know, mingle. Oh, are you the guys that just ran into to Aramag in the port? Ha ha, suckers. Can't believe you were ready.
I sock him in the face.
Whoa. And it's just run of the mill for this kind of tavern.
Classic.
You see two other guys that are unconscious from punches from a little while ago. For the past several days, the talk of the streets and the taverns has been all about this so-called death curse that has been afflicting several members of the city. It's a wasting disease that is afflicting everyone who's ever been raised from the dead. Hushed whispers throughout the streets are talking about it. You've got people babbling about it in the tavern, and many claiming that they know one or two people who are currently wasting away from it.
I assume there's like different stages. Have we seen any beyond like the stage our buddy's at?
When you show Haxail to some of these people you're talking to, they say that it looks about the same.
Gross.
I continue to like listen in on conversations and rumors and whispers. And does anybody have any ideas about where it might have come from or the first case or anything like that?
In talking with both Darg and with a couple of the other patrons, you determine that people first started showing symptoms of this about 20 days ago. Aside from that,
is that true for our guy as well too?
Yes, Haxail started to get sick.
At the same time, so there must be some sort of like catalyst or something.
And
right?
They all seem consistent with each other, so it all would point to the fact that they're all coming from the same place.
Yeah, like, well, they're all raised, right? So whatever is affecting them.
But the raising is, it's taking life from them equally across the board. So let's say that they're at 60% health. We could probably anticipate that whatever is taking it is at 40%.
Is anybody dying from this yet? Or?
Some of the weaker people, some of the tavern patrons that you talk to say, oh yeah, my sister, we saved up for years to raise her. And then just last week, she passed away.
What a waste of money.
Oh. Yep.
Well, fuck.
We loved her. It wasn't the way.
You get socked in the face.
Bam! She was an angel.
I'm sure. I just mean, like, you should go back to the priests and complain. They obviously did a shoddy resurrection.
They should do a shoddy resurrection on your mage as well.
Oh, I actually don't know how that happened, so I wouldn't be too surprised.
While you guys are here in the tavern, I'm going to get Jake. So, how about you roll me two d20s?
Just two straight up d20s.
Yeah.
How does a 4 suit you?
Good.
And a 3.
Okay.
Why the fuck did you ask Jake?
No. That was actually pretty decent for what I'm looking for. So
he's looking okay, for failure.
I built into my backstory that my character is a curse of misfortune, so that follows him everywhere. So it's good. I'm just role playing.
So you meet the following two people as you're hanging out. We've got Mushrib. He's a albino dwarf.
Cool.
He's hanging out drinking there. He introduces you to himself to you as a guide who takes adventurers and travelers out into the jungles.
Hi, yes, I'm Mushrib. The jungle is my home. I know it well. Now, listen, I can guide you anywhere in Shalt for a fee of 5 gold pieces a day. If adventure is what you seek, join my quest to reclaim Harakamar, my clan's ancestral forge. There's been a volcanic eruption a few years ago, and it forced us to abandon our homes. Since then, the Fire Newts have taken over, and they'll either have to be driven out or destroyed. At the very least, we must sneak in and recover a relic known as Mordin's Gauntlet. The Fire Newts must not be allowed to keep it. If you love Dwarvenkind, then hear my plea and join me in returning Harakamar to its rightful owners. I will waive my fee for your promise of assistance.
You meet two other fellows as well. These are a race that you are not familiar with.
Ooh.
These are cat people known as Tabaxi. Hmm. They're native to Chult.
Hello, friends. Yes, my name is River Mist, and this is my brother, Flask of Wine. You're probably looking for a guide, aren't you? Let me tell you, you want to beware Jobal, the merchant prince, and his no-good flunkies. He's just as trustworthy as a sack of snakes, as are most of his guides. If you choose us, we'll never lead you astray. River and Flask are up to the task. That's our motto. Chult is, of course, our playground. We're fast, we're reliable, we know exactly what we're doing. Now, 5 gold pieces per day and a 30-day advance is what hogwash Jobal's flunkies would demand of you. We're happy to serve as guides for only 4 gold pieces a day with no payment up front. Even better, we'll waive the fee entirely for equal shares of whatever treasures we help find.
What the hell is going on with these weird people and dinosaurs?
And they are actually doing almost everything they can to be on the opposite side of the tavern for Mushrib.
I ask Mushrib, what do you think of River and Flask over there?
When you say their names, he perks up, casts a furious glance around the tavern, and like almost like magic, they have ducked out of view.
River and Flask, they're here.
No, they were. Oh, sorry, were we lying?
That wasn't a lie. They were.
Okay, not anymore, yeah.
Those two are always working against the merchant princes. They're supposed to pay dues, but they always work on their own. They don't play by the rules, you could say. I wouldn't trust them. They're up to something. They're involved in some criminal organization or something. Stick with the merchant princes. They run the city. I pay my dues, I do everything by the books, and I'll keep you alive out there.
Do you price match?
What do you mean by that?
They're charging 4 gold a day.
Look, I give you a quest.
Yeah.
You help me free Harakamar, and you're not going to have to pay anything.
How hard is it?
what's the challenge rating, approximately?
I mean, he is telling, like,
look, I can't, a group. All I'm telling you is I can't do it by myself.
He's telling a group of pirates that conforming is better than breaking the rules. So I feel more inclined that
I've got to agree with you.
We excuse ourselves for a moment so we can
yes.
discuss privately.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck Musharab, am I right?
Oh, I was going to not say that.
The cat people are cheap.
All right, town seems to really like the
so
cat people.
Can I say, we do need some funds to continue this expedition.
Mm-hmm. So cheaper companions.
Or a fucking dwarven vault full of artifacts and treasures that we steal.
But then we have a whole guild after us.
I guess that's true.
We could just spend the night stealing from the town.
Yeah, I mean, that's small well, change,
don't
right?
steal from town. You may not have much.
What does town have that I could steal?
A blanket.
Also, like, River and Flask want a 30-day advance. We literally can't afford that.
Oh.
Between the four of you, you don't have 30 gold?
Wasn't it 5 gold per day?
Yeah, they're looking for... 30 times 5, 150. You're right.
Yeah, I've got 10.
Fuck we do not. Shit. We can't hire him.
Yeah, so I guess we go with Albino Weirdo.
Can we hire River and Flask to kill him?
Or, I mean, we can try to make some kind of deal with River and Flask, and I'm sure we could arrange something.
Hmm.
But, I don't know. I mean, if they're, like, running at the sight of a dwarf, then they're probably not even worth our time. They're cowards.
Yeah, but... he didn't even notice them, so how perceptive is he?
Yeah.
These guys.
That makes it easier to steal from him!
As you're arguing, you suddenly hear a huge crash outside the tavern. Some screaming, some roaring. Somebody, a young human male, bursts in through the door. And says, Bessie! Bessie's loose!
Oh, come on.
I like to imagine that's exactly what you said.
I look around the room for reactions on other people's faces.
Everybody is like, oh shit, not Bessie, and they're panicked.
Oh.
I mean, someone's T-Rex got loose.
Yeah, and right now dozens of people are clamoring for the back door.
Alright, I take out my weapons in case.
Alright.
Well, if they're heading for the back door, I'm going to win and chult, do as the chults do, and hightail it out of here.
You guys rush out into the alley. You hear outside there's even more roaring from the front street. It sounds like probably a couple different dinosaurs in the midst of a full-on fight. There's screams of women and children as the dinosaurs are going at it. You're crushing out into this 5-foot-wide alley, dozens of other bar patrons taking up space, shoulder to shoulder. They're crushing in on you. It starts to get even more and more suffocating, and you're going to have to fight your way out. Next time on the House of Annihilation. House of Bob is sponsored by Ian at Bowen Island Beers. The music in this episode, including Twisted, Night on the Docks, Darkling, Feral Chase, and Brittle Rill, was produced by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.